Joshua chapter 1 in your Bibles. Joshua 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now Joshua records the consummation of redemption of Israel from Egypt, and it's twofold. In Deuteronomy 6:23, it says God will have them come out of Egypt and go into the land of Canaan. We came out of sin when we got saved and we went into Christ, and so now we serve him and live for him. The law of Moses as the representative could not give people the victory. And Moses is dead. Joshua's responsibility as a type of Christ is to lead the people into victory, into the promised land. How verse 10, Joshua commands the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. And he speaks to the 2.5 tribes that you'll remember did not come into Canaan. They wanted the land on the other side where it was good for cattle. So we have Reuben, the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And they are in full agreement. They remember their promise, and they are going to go into the land first and fight with Israel against the nations and then return to their homeland to raise their cattle. Now we see first Joshua the man. He was born in Egypt during the captivity, as most of all these were, because they were there 430 years. So most of Israel was born in that time period. He lived through the good, the bad, and the ugly in Egypt. And God used their lives to prepare them to become leaders. He used Moses to become a leader of the nation, and he used Joshua in the same way. God uses their lives. Joshua was a firstborn of Nun, his father, and he survived the 10th plague in Egypt as the firstborn son. By faith, his family put the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost and lintels, and Joshua was spared. He was named in Numbers 13, if you want to turn back there with me. Numbers 13. Probably see a list there of the families, the 12 tribes, and the sons that were named there in those tribes. Down in verse 16, it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, and he was shortened to Joshua. Now, Oshia means salvation. Joshua means Jehovah's salvation. And so Moses changed his name to Joshua and would have him therefore be the witness and testimony that Jehovah's salvation was being brought through him. Now, he was born in the tribe of Ephraim, and the other faithful man who went with him as a spy was Caleb, and he was from Judah's tribe. We first learn of Joshua in Exodus 17 and verse number 9, where he fights with Amalek. On their journey through the wilderness, the Amalekites attack them, and they fight with the Amalekites, and you know the story. That's where Moses went up on the hill and on the rock, and they held up his hands before the Lord, and they won the victory when they could hold his hands up. If he got so tired his hands went down, then they would be losing the victory. And Joshua was the leader. He was the commander of the military. Like all Israel, they were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh, because the Bible says another Pharaoh rose to power who knew not Joseph. Joseph had become the savior of the nation of Egypt and of the nation of Israel. God used him to understand dreams and visions. There'd be a great famine coming, and he suggested that they use those festive years of feast, 7 years, to store up, because 7 years of famine were coming. And so Pharaoh said, basically, since you know these things, I don't know anybody better to put over it than you. And so Joseph rose to great power, and he caused Israel to store up goods for 7 years. And then when the famines came, even the small family of Israel came down to buy corn and grain, because they didn't have any from the famine. And Joshua is someone who grows up under all that. And Joshua was born to parents who, his father was Nun. His name means Jehovah's salvation. He became a man of entire consecration and spiritual mindedness. He showed godly reverence and great courage and obedience. He was a man of decision. Moses changed his name. So he will become a great leader and lead his people into the promised land. He was a faithful man. He was a man called of God. He was a man of the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says that the Bible, the book of the law, would not depart out of his mouth, but he should meditate in it day and night, and he would make his way prosperous and find good success. And that's still true for us all today. Study the Word of God. Memorize Scripture. It comes back to help you. He was a man obedient to God's commands. In the book of Hebrews, if you want to turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 4, the book of Hebrews records Jesus compared to many things, and how Christ is greater and better than everything in the Old Testament. He's compared to angels, and he is, angels are servants of God. Christ is the Son of God. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. Moses was a great man, but he was not God. He's superior to Aaron, who was the high priest. Christ served as a high priest also, but after a different order. The order of Melchizedek. And that was an eternal order of a high priest. It was not based upon who his parents were or what tribe he came from. And then in chapter 4 and verse number 8, we see Jesus compared to Joshua. He said in verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now it says, for if Jesus had given them rest." Now that's referring to Joshua. The name translates in English the same way. Joshua is Hebrew, and Jesus is from the Greek translation into English. And so he's referring to Joshua. He said, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Joshua gave Israel rest in Canaan, but Jesus gives us rest in salvation, which is a permanent rest. It's greater than the rest that Joshua could offer unto Israel. Thank God for what he does. And I love Hebrews' comparisons there with all the things that Christ is compared to and how he's exalted. I love to read that and study it and teach it and preach it and all that. We'll go back to our outline. Also, the name Joshua, when the Hebrews refer to Jesus, if they're Christians, they refer to him as Yeshua HaMashiach. And that is what we call Jesus the Christ. It's what they would call Jesus the Messiah. Now, Joshua was also a great soldier. We don't know where he got his training. Israel probably did not have an army unless they were hired by Egyptians to, you know, be security or something of that nature, and maybe to punish the Hebrews for them or something of that nature. But he was not a soldier for the Egyptian army. In Exodus 17, God gave Joshua the confidence that he would deliver him from the Amalekites. Now, knowing God and obeying God and knowing that you're going to fight a battle that's God's will can make you a soldier overnight, I guess, with Joshua. He was not just a soldier, he was the leader, and he was a good tactician. He believed God would deliver him and defeat the Amalekites, and Moses was the leader, and Joshua his servant or minister. Therefore, he was an assistant to Moses. So if Moses told him, God wants you to go fight the Amalekites, I mean, he grabs up his weapons and takes off. He knows that's the word of the Lord. He knows that Moses knows what God wants done. He's watched Moses speak with God face to face. He's worshiped with Moses while Moses is worshiping God. And he saw God work through Moses to do great and mighty things. He had complete trust that whatever Moses told him was the will of God. And he was a man of great courage that would face the enemy because he knew God was on their side. You remember that he was one of the spies that went into the land of Canaan. And he came back with a report as well as Caleb. If God is for us, then we can take this land. God has given us this land. Let's go in and take the land. But the rest of the spies were afraid. They saw the walled cities. They saw the giants, the Anakims. They saw the brothers of Goliath, sons of Anath. And they feared and didn't want to go fight. But Joshua and Caleb were ready. Joshua was not only a great soldier, he was in submission to the word of God. And he was in submission to the God of the word. Look at chapter 5 of Joshua and verse 13 through 15. came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. And then the angel of the Lord explained to Joshua how he was to fight the battle with Jericho and gave him the details. Joshua had an experience here with the angel of the Lord, much like Moses had with the burning bush. And from that point forward, there was no doubt what he was supposed to do. He'd heard from God, and he'd heard from the angel of the Lord in a visible way. And the angel told him how to attack, chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see how I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. So that's exactly how they defeated Jericho. They obeyed the word of the angel of the Lord, and they marched around the city exactly as they were told. They were quiet when they did that. The shout didn't come till the 7th day. They had plenty of breath stored up and ready for the great shout they could shout when they heard the horns blow 7 times. And the wall fell down flat. When Joshua had been a spy, he was one of 12, and each one of them was a leader of a tribe. And every man was a ruler of his people. And Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim and Caleb from Judah. And when the 12 saw the wall, cities, the giants, the number of the people, they feared and gave advice not to attack. Nothing like that's going to happen now with Joshua in charge and telling the people exactly what God would have them to do to gain the victory. They had searched the land for 40 days and came back, and 10 of the spies gave an evil report, and they discouraged the people with their report. And so because of that, the people rebelled against Moses and Aaron and against the message of Joshua and Caleb. That's one of the problems that we have in society today. We who know the Word of God, we who believe God, we quote Scripture to people, but they don't want to believe it. It offends them. They fear that they can't put their trust in God to be saved, or they don't want to lose their sinful living, and so they hold on to it. Israel rebelled against the Lord's message and against Caleb and Joshua, and so because of that, turn to, let's see, Numbers 14. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nation shall have heard of the fame of thee, will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring his people into the land which he had sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. So God is angry with the nation for what they have done. But God allows Joshua and Caleb to live and to go into the land of promise. But none of that generation that was 20 years of age up were allowed to enter in. They died in the wilderness in a 40-year period of time, that all of them died before the time came for them to go into the land. Only Joshua and Caleb said, if God is for us, we can take the land. And so because of this, God blessed them and chastened the hands of all the others. Joshua became a great leader in Numbers 27. Verse 18. Numbers 27, verse 18. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At this word shalt they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. We speak of a ordination of men into the ministry and of deacons, and we lay hands upon them. And we pray that the Lord will use them in a great and mighty way, and that God will give them what is beyond their own natural abilities and talents, and the Spirit of God will use them to do the work of God. He became a great successor of Moses and receives the charge to lead the people. In chapter 14, in verse 11 through 20, Moses, God said they deserved to die and lose the inheritance, but Moses interceded and appealed to God's mercy and long-suffering. My friends, if I'm thankful for anything on a regular basis with God, it's for His great mercy and His long-suffering. 2 Peter says there's coming a day where the judgment of God is going to come upon this world. And the only reason it hasn't come is because God is long-suffering so that people might be saved. And He is merciful to give us forgiveness. And they hearkened to the voice of Moses, but God said of all the congregation, only Joshua and Caleb will enter the promised land. All those 20 years of age and up at that time would die. And even Moses himself, because of striking the rock and displeasing God, was not allowed to go into Canaan. But He let him go up on the mountain and see it. These people didn't see it. But Moses got to see it. But he didn't get to enter in. The report caused the people to murmur against the Lord, and they died of a plague. The people mourned, and in the morning got up to go do what they were supposed to do that Moses tried to get them to do. And Moses warned them, do not do this, because God is not among you now. You'll be fighting on your own strength. And there's a lot of people get backslidden with the Lord, and then they go to try to do something for God, come to church, witness to somebody, talk to their children, and they have no power with God because God's not in what they're doing because they have rebuked the Lord in their displeasure, murmuring and complaining as the people did with Moses. Now, in chapter 2 of the book of Joshua, Joshua sends 2 spies into Jericho. And verse 1, Joshua, son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth these men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, and they be come to search out our country, all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof of her house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued and couldn't find anybody, of course, and knew not that they were on the roof of her house. Now, Rahab became a believer because she knew these men were with Israel, and she knew what God had done for Israel in parting the Red Sea, in destroying other nations, and blessing them in a great way. And these spies lodged at her house, and she hid them because she asked a favor of them. When you come in to destroy the land, your presence here has caused our people to just be fearful and worried. And if you would, now that I have showed thee a kindness, spare my family. And she let them down through a window with a scarlet cord. And they said, tie this scarlet cord in the window and make sure all of your family are in your house. If they're out in the streets, they have no promise. But if they're here, where the scarlet cord is tied, they will be spared. We'll see more about that in the study of the lesson. I thank you all for being here. I know it's been a bad afternoon since lunchtime with the high winds and the cold temperatures coming and the rain that's out there. The water's just everywhere. My backyard looks like a pond. And we have a drainage pond in front of our house that belongs to the housing development, and it's all the way up to the top of the dam. And it's really put down some inches of rain. I'm just thankful it's not getting down below freezing to freeze all that water that's been coming down. You know, the most dangerous thing we face is ice on the roads. And so we don't want to get any ice. And if you hear temperatures dropping into the 20s to where we'd have ice, then be very careful if you have to go out in the next morning to drive. This woman caused that she and her father's house were spared because of her faith, seeing what God had done. And yet we talk to people all the time that have seen the hand of God work in miraculous ways, and yet they still will not believe. God help us to know what to say and how to say it, and to have a walk with God that we can appeal to them in the name of the Lord, and they'll see we're a people of faith who care about them and love them and want to see them get saved. So thank you for being here. God bless these folks as they travel home. Give them safety, I pray. Dismiss us with your love and grace, we pray. And use us this week and bless the services on Sunday. Bob will be preaching Sunday morning, and I enjoyed much yesterday the trip to Burlington and back with Bob, getting to spend some actual time talking with him. And we're so thankful you gave us mercy to get home safe. And so we praise you and thank you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.